Hello, this is Chuck Solomon, and welcome to the Candidate Experience Podcast, where we focus on the job candidate journey from apply to onboard and the space in between. Let's get started. You care about the candidate experience. But have you ever wondered exactly how to bring your company to that next level and offer a world-class experience to your candidates? It's not easy. Fortunately, Candidate.fyi can help. Their solution guides candidates through your hiring journey, enhancing transparency and communication at every touch point. You'll also gain valuable insights on what's working and what's not with your hiring process. Best of all, it integrates directly with your ATS. Head on over to candidate.fyi and see how to transform your company's candidate experience today. Welcome to the People Not Numbers episode, where Caitlin Tarpey Barea, Director of Talent at Tomo, is my special guest. Listen in as she shares her insights on creating a stellar candidate experience. If you like what you're hearing on this podcast, please subscribe and do share with others. Want to comment, discuss, provide feedback? You can send me a note via LinkedIn or via the contact form on our site, thecx.xyz. I thank you for listening. Here's my interview. Hey, Caitlin, how are you today?
Hi, Chuck. I'm so great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday.
I appreciate you taking the time to have a conversation with me and share your insights and knowledge with my listeners. But before we get started, can you let listeners know a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, first off.
Sure.
My name's Caitlin. I run the talent function at Tomo, which is a fintech startup. It's about 2.5 years old, but prior to working in the startup world, I had a really fun career in fashion and in finance before that. So I've been on the HR recruitment side of many different industries, but have always found myself within the recruitment space. That's where my heart is.
Gotcha. I totally understand. You often ask the same question of folks, like, how'd you get into this talent, people, attraction space?
It's such a good question because I feel that so many people say they fall into it.
Yeah.
For me, I'd say it was, I'm the daughter of an accountant and a math teacher. And so I knew from a very early age that I did not want to work with numbers. I wanted to work with people. So I knew at least that much going through undergrad. And really, when I think about what recruitment is, it's matchmaking, but it's also being an ambassador for a company, for a brand, for an organization that you're passionate about. And I've had some good practice in situations like that. I grew up in the pageant circuit, and it's very natural to me to connect people and to guide people into whatever it is that their heart's calling them for. So it was a little bit of, I knew I wanted to deal with people versus numbers. And then just sort of a circumstance where I fell into an assignment. I ended up being successful in that assignment. And then my career really took off after that.
That's awesome. I think you're the first person I've interviewed that started in the fashion and pageant industry. And now you're recruiting. I don't know if you have found any, like, you know, similarities in the two or, but yeah, that's interesting. Thanks for sharing.
Well, totally. There's totally similarities. I mean, again, it's like representing a brand or a company or an organization that's bigger than yourself. But there's also marketing. Like, people forget that recruiting it's sales in a way, right? Like, you're selling an opportunity, you're selling the dream. And so, I've been lucky enough to experience some dreams like that. So maybe it makes it easier. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I can see what you're pointing out here. So it is definitely sales. It is definitely marketing. It is representing a brand. When you're trying to sell candidates on your brand and, you know, what it's, you know, like to work there, and this all sort of wraps up into candidate experience. So I can see the similarities for sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot like going on these days about, you know, artificial intelligence and that ChatGPT. I don't know if you've played around with that at all, but if you had
had a big sigh when you asked that question.
have you played around with that at all? I'll admit I have a little bit, but
yeah, I've played around a bit. So my boss and I actually were playing around with it a few weeks ago when it started to take off, and we thought, wow, this could be a super cool resource for a small company looking to get some like L&D resources. You know, maybe you don't have all the headcount to help with questions that new employees may have. So we thought that there was an opportunity there. I also went to a career fair where there was a startup that was building an AI/ChatGPT platform for students to fill out college applications. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting to me. And, you know, my chin was on the floor when the founder was showing me the technology, and it was really cool. But I probed him on, like, how are we going to make sure the next generation and these students know how to have a conversation and how to shake a hand and how to look someone in the eye? And I'm very bullish on being together in person, especially if you're early career or from an underrepresented group. I think it's just critically important. And there's so many statistics out there that talk about how important it is to have at least some sort of hybrid model. And I would love for us to find the confluence of like accepting technology the way that it is, but keeping the human centricity of people and HR and recruitment, right, and talent and all those things at the same place. And, you know, we'll find our way eventually, but the pendulum is swinging big time right now in both directions. I think we're far away from figuring out what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think recruiters' jobs are still safe for the time being, because I still don't believe that a robot or some AI can replace humans. And at the end of the day, people are still working with other people, and like you said, people need to be able to have conversations and talk with and problem solve with and be creative with. Perhaps these AIs are going to sort of hopefully take out some of the mundane stuff there that doesn't add that much value. But I think the creativity and such. I talked to a writer, and I said, you know, could this write, you know, the articles that you write? And and he had said, you know, I've played around with it a little bit, but he's like, when you look at sort of the writing style, there's not really much of a voice in there. Maybe it'll get better. But he said, I feel like my job is pretty safe for the time being. And then I probed him some more and said, what if you like said, hey, I want to write an article on X and here's some outline. Do you think like you could take the skeleton of what it sends back to you and then improve upon? And he's like, no, sometimes that's like more work than just writing it yourself.
Right. That's so fair. I think there's going to have to be a middle ground. But I really cannot imagine a world where we take the human out of a human resources,
right.
You know, journey. I really can't imagine it. I mean, I may be wrong, but there's just such power in humans being connected, and I think we're naturally social creatures, and you know, there is something as like a vibe and an energy and intuition and gut feeling, right? You never want to use those things through an interview process because you want to make sure that you're removing bias and being super equitable. But there is an art to interacting with humans. And I think if we take those human pieces out of our lives, I don't know that we're going to be as fulfilled and as happy as we can be.
Yep. I'm with you. So can you describe any challenges that your company, your team's experiencing with some aspect of the candidate experience and what y'all did about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a very small company, and I've sort of gone on this journey throughout my career where I started recruiting financial advisors, which was a fully commission, unpaid job. Mm-hmm. And I called that recruitment process as being very offensive. It was like a real sell, real grind, right? I had to talk about all of the aspects of the opportunity. And oh, by the way, this has zero base salary. That's a hard type of recruitment to do.
Right.
And so I went from this very offensive recruitment sort of style, is the way that I describe it, to working at one of the most prestigious luxury fashion brands in the world, where I would describe my recruitment process there as being very defensive. We had absolutely no issues with volume of candidates. The issues that you run into working for a brand that everybody knows and everybody wants to work at is that everybody knows and everybody wants to work there. And there's some rose-colored glasses in the way that they're approaching their candidacy for that brand, right? Because they just want to be there. And they're not thinking of like, do I have the skills and the attributes and will I be successful in this role? They're just thinking, oh my gosh, what an absolute honor it would be to work for a company like this. And so I went from playing defense to playing offense, to now being at a startup where I can't even say that I'm playing offense because a lot of people don't know who we are. And right. So the excitement of the challenge that we have is that my role has really metamorphosized into more than just a talent leader and recruiter, but I'm building a brand. I'm building an employer brand, and the North Star for us, and a belief that I've always held true throughout my entire recruitment career, is that a good candidate experience is my absolute best recruitment tool. Because if I provide a great experience to somebody, even if I don't get to hire them, they will tell their friends or their significant others or their students in their class, oh, wow, I met Caitlin at Tomo and they didn't have the right role for me, but I would totally interview with them again. And so when we've been thinking about this challenge that we have of, hey, we're small, people don't know us yet. We do have a hybrid model, which has been interesting over the past year to see how the world has shifted from wanting to be remote. And now we're seeing a big influx of people that want some sort of hybrid interaction because, like we've already discussed, humans are social creatures. We committed as a team to being transparent, being human first, and using technology to make us, to elevate the candidate experience that we can offer. And one thing that I'm super excited about that we've just launched is a beta program with something called Candidate FYI. So Candidate FYI found me a few months ago, and then they walked me through this idea that they had of building a better candidate experience. And because that's always been our North Star, I said, let's talk about it. And when they showed me what they were building, I was blown away. And so what's so cool about this is that every candidate that interviews with Tomo gets access to a portal, and that portal provides them whatever it is that we decide we would like to give to them for their interview experience. So in our case, we're providing some interview tips and tricks, some information on Tomo, on our leaders, on who you're meeting. Here's some video content. Here's some of our Instagram accounts. So it's synthesizing all that they may find if they go to and do a Google search before hopping on a phone screen with us. But it's making it really easy for candidates to access all of this information about us as a company. I think then they're also feeling like we really care about them, which we do, right? We're giving them this white glove service, and the technology is really impressive. But then what's even cooler is that we get to get pulse scores from candidates. So candidates are submitting their experience throughout the process, throughout phone screen, throughout hiring manager interviews, throughout interview looping, throughout final round. And so I'm going to get all of that data to assess if there's any opportunities in our organization when it comes to interview training, candidate experience, et cetera, whatever may come up. So we are so pumped about this because I think it's really differentiating us. I've had candidates say they've never seen anything like it, and really humbled to be along for the ride with Kyle and Chris. But that goes to show you, like when I talk about the Tomo commitment to talent, we're transparent, we're human, and we're using tech to elevate the candidate experience. And the experience that these candidates have is our absolute North Star, because they will be our best recruiters as we go to scale, as we go to grow.
Yeah, I think what you're expressing here too is really you're as part of being transparent and human and using tech, you're communicating. And this is I don't think you can over communicate in a sort of a hiring process. So I think you're communicating with people that have shown an interest, because like at the end of the day, you might post a job and there might be 100 people applying. If you have one opening, well, you know, one person is going to be happy. 99 people might not be happy. So, and that if you're communicating sort of things about your company, where they stand in the process, I think what the key is that they know what's going on. So when you have to decline the 99 that have applied, you know, at least they can, as you said, you know, maybe like the experience much better. Your experience is better than what they've had at lots of companies that don't even tell you anything that's going on. That proverbial applicant tracking system black hole out there. You're telling people, communicating with people all along the way, using some tech to help with that. And then, you know, I think people are going to be happy. And then the other piece of this too is you're also measuring what people are saying about your process and stuff. And right. sometimes that's hard to do. Not hard to do, it's hard to take. Meaning, like, you know, if you ask people to give you feedback, when people ask me to give feedback on things, I'm like, I try to be as respectful as possible, but I'm not going to sort of rubber stamp it for them. If they ask for feedback, I'm going to give them my feedback. Everything's not going to be 5 stars. So,
right. And it shouldn't be, right. And nothing in life is, right. There's no such thing as perfect. And I think when you collect that data from candidates, you're going to just start to see patterns. And you know, patterns that I'm anticipating we see is that maybe some of our interviewers need some coaching and like asking deeper questions or, better eye contact via Zoom, or making sure camera's on in interviews if it's not in person. You know, but I can't collect that sort of information because I'm not sitting it on or in every single interview. You know, I'm just pumped because we're seeing such a good response from candidates. We're like more than 50% of candidates in the role that I'm currently using it for have responded to the pulse survey, whereas the candidate experience or the candidate survey that gets sent out through our ATS after somebody's interview experience with us, we were tracking like less than 5% response rate. No one does that right after they've gone through the whole loop. But the way that these guys have built the platform is that candidates can give pulses after every stage. So it's also just like more data in general, which is really cool. But hey, Chuck, I realized I forgot one other thing that's a big driver for us. It's speed. And everybody hears about the nightmare stories of the company they interviewed with and it took them 7 months and they never got the job. And I will never allow that to be a thing. Speed is so important. I think it's a respect thing. I think it's an efficiency thing. And I also think that people need to be okay with this concept of if it's a maybe, it's a no. Because I've realized in my career that so many times interviewers will sit on candidates or sit on feedback because they're like, I don't know. Maybe. No, then it's a no. If it's a maybe, it's a no. And let's respect them and let's say no, thank you. And let's move on instead of dragging them on for 3 weeks and then declining them then. Right. So we have a commitment as a recruiting team that we respond to every applicant within 72 hours. We've built technology and we use our ATS to be able to do that automatically in some cases, right? So we might have some screen out questions, or I hold the team accountable to checking applications every day. I mean, we're full-time recruiters, so we got to do that. And, you know, I'm really proud of that, because I've been a candidate myself where I've applied to a position and then 5 months later I get a rejection email and I'm like, oh gosh, I totally forgot I even applied to that role. Like, that's not a good look for them. So yeah. The speed is important, and a metric that the CEO holds me to is if we identify a candidate who we say is a GOAT. So greatest of all teams, GOAT is one of our, mascot.
Yeah.
if we feel that someone's a GOAT, we loop them within 10 days. So, and that loop is from when they need a hiring manager. So if a hiring manager calls me and says, Caitlin, Chuck's a GOAT. Oh my gosh, I think he may be the one. Chuck is going to go from the hiring manager to the final round of interviews in 10 business days. And that's a metric that I'm measured to. That's a metric that the entire organization is aware of. So here we truly prioritize interviews when there's an open role. And it's a team effort, right? Because there's no way I could do that unless the team is saying, yes, I'm committed to being on this interview panel. And yes, you can book on my calendar, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a cool metric. And I'm excited to see at the end of the year if we're able to hit that for,
I think that's a great, that's a awesome number, especially when you compare it to, I think the average time to hire is like 42 days, which is like, I'm not sure who's waiting a month and a half or something, or why it's taking that long to do that.
You know what's so hard is the way that metric is collected is different everywhere. So like, does that mean from the time the job is open to the time the person is marked as hire? Does that mean from the time the job is open to the start date? Does that mean from the time the candidate you end up hiring enters the ATS and then is marked as hired? Like, every ATS tracks this differently. So that's what's kind of annoying, is because like, no matter how I can mess around with my metrics, I might have different numbers for like time to hire, time to fill, you know, average length and process, et cetera. So I'd rather focus on, once we identify somebody's great, let's try to get them through in 2 weeks, because I know if we're operating at that sort of speed, the other metrics will sort themselves out, right? Like, we will just be automatically working quicker.
Right. Is there anything that your team is doing? You had mentioned candidate FYI, but is there anything else that your team is doing or planning to do in 2023 to try to impact the candidate experience? I mean, you've already said a lot, but I didn't know if you had anything else up your sleeve.
So we have, we here, and I think it's just the beauty of being a Series A startup, we get to be a little quirky. And so just some things that we're thinking of in terms of employer branding is that we are all about our brand. And so when we go to campus career fairs, whoever goes to that career fair, everyone's in matching hoodies, matching socks. We are, our color, our company color is I'm going to say coral, but my engineers would tell you like the exact letters and numbers that is the code of the color. And I don't know it off the top of my head. But we're getting just great feedback and a lot of attention off of our branding. I actually, for the first time, we had a candidate apply, and on there, how did you hear about Tomo question? They said that they saw somebody wearing a Tomo t-shirt.
The coral color t-shirt.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a little guerrilla marketing or some QR codes that I've stuck on a few places that I probably shouldn't have stuck around town. And that's the fun part of building something. And, you know, the one other piece of this is we have an incredible marketing and social media team at Tomo, and we're trying to really figure out like, how can we use social media to recruit great talent. And so is that your TikTok or Instagram Reels, or is it our LinkedIn profile? So we're playing around and experimenting, and I'm excited to be at a company that's in this stage of experimentation where I really, you know, I have the support to try. And so those are a couple of fun things. You know, the coral is definitely getting a lot of attention. And I'm excited to see what we can do with social media.
Awesome. Is there one tip that you'd have for others in the hiring space on what they could do to improve their company's candidate experience?
Oh, gosh, such a loaded question. One thing.
Just one.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like if you'd asked me this question a different day, I might have a different answer. But today I'm feeling inspired to say, if you could only do one thing, you should really audit your phone screen process. And that like first impression that your team gives to candidates, because there's a lot of science behind the importance of first impressions, and your career site, you know, your invitation to a phone screen, your Calendly link, your first email, your LinkedIn message, however it is that you are touching that candidate for the first time, do an audit of what that's like for your team and or for you yourself. Is it consistent? Is everybody on the team using the same branding? Are you using the same tools? Are you asking the same questions on phone screens? Are you handling compensation and location and commute and level and have to have the nice to have on that first phone screen so that you get all of that out of the way? So that's what I would say, is really audit that first touch point of the candidate experience and make sure it's where you want it to be, because that is your company and your team's reputation. So I think if you can make a really great connection with a candidate on that first phone screen, on that first conversation, then it just makes the whole process more enjoyable for everybody, because you feel like you're really connected and you can really help figure out if this is the right opportunity for them or not.
Audit, spoken by the child of, you said, an accountant and a math teacher. Like, perfect. Yes. I think you should share this with your parents after it publishes, and so they can they can say, yay, we did something right there. The math. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I'd be remiss to say, because I will send this to my parents. And so then now I have to add that my dad played professional basketball before he became the math teacher. And so I think that also feeds into just my family. You know, we're very team oriented, super athletic, competitive, right? Like that's in all of our DNA. And sure. When I talk about recruiting, I talk about building a team. And I think as someone that's been a team athlete, there's something special about figuring out the chemistry between the people, right, and the players. Sure. And maybe all this time we thought I just fell into recruiting, but maybe me watching my dad play basketball and look at five guys playing well together on the court, maybe that's really where my interest in recruitment came from. Who knows?
Good stuff. Great. Caitlin, if people wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so I'm happy to make a connection, happy to give advice, feedback, anytime.
Awesome. Caitlin, I thank you for your time today and sharing your insights, and I love the audit. That's awesome. But thanks for your time today. Thanks for listening to the Candidate Experience Podcast. You can reach out to us via our website, thecx.xyz. That's thecx.xyz.